Hey, everybody. Welcome to another edition of The Journey of Hope. The Journey of Hope is a special podcast that's designed to address the issues that men and women face after incarceration. Jillian Bullock is on the show today. Jillian is the owner of a company called Jillian Bullock Enterprises, and this is an empowerment company that works on wellness. And when I say wellness, I mean your body and your mind. She has been where we've been, and she has gotten past it and has some great ideas for us. We're going to be talking to Jillian right after this. I'm Rodney Mathers, and you're on the Journey of Hope. Hey, y'all, me again. You can always catch me if you want to at mathersrodney@yahoo.com. That's mathersrodney at yahoo.com. Drop me a line. Love to hear from you. Welcome back. My guest today is Jillian Bullock. Jillian is the owner of Jillian Bullock Enterprises, which is an empowerment company through fitness and wellness. She likes to help people, and she's written a book about it called Here I Stand. Jillian, welcome to the Journey of Hope.
Thank you for having me, Rodney.
First of all, can you just tell us a little bit about your background and so we can get a good idea where it is you're coming from, Jillian. Tell us about your childhood and how that was.
As a young African-American girl, I grew up with my mother, my brother, and my stepfather. My stepfather actually was in the Italian mafia in Philadelphia during the 60s and 70s. So I grew up learning a lot about how the mob works and since my stepfather raised me since I was a baby, I was like his little girl. So a lot of times he took me places that I really shouldn't have been. So I saw a lot of stuff early on, a lot of violence and other things that I should not have seen. But I also learned, how to protect myself, how to take care of myself. And that was my life growing up, learning the ins and outs of how the mob works.
You even saw a hit. Didn't you?
At nine, I was asleep in the back of the car, and my stepfather had to take care of business, and I guess he thought I was still asleep, and I awakened to, I didn't see him around, and I was looking for him, and I saw out the car window that he was in the alleyway with another guy, and, he shot him, and it wasn't just that he shot someone, that was devastating enough, but it was someone, all the guys in the mob, I was to call them my uncles because it's just respect. Mm-hmm. And it was one of my uncles that I grew up with, Uncle Joey, so I really was upset because not only did you kill someone, you killed my Uncle Joey. So I didn't understand what happened, why it happened, and I had nightmares, reoccurring nightmares, to the point where I had to be hospitalized for anxiety and stress. Nobody knew what was wrong with me, because mm-hmm. I didn't want to tell anybody. I was scared to tell anybody.
Mm-hmm. And also, at an early age, you write about how you were sexually assaulted.
Right. Around 11 years old, I was at a friend of the family. I was at my cousin's house, and he sexually, a friend of theirs was an older guy, and he sexually assaulted me. And, you know, I didn't have anybody to talk to, and the closest person I was to my stepfather. Mm-hmm. So I told him, you know, what happened, because I was so upset and didn't know what to do. And the only thing he said is, I'll take care of it. So.
Oh. Okay. Now, I guess the reason I even bring it up, Jillian, is I'm wondering how that affected you in your later life. Those, not just the sexual assault, but witnessing a hit, and you know, how did those things affect you as an adult?
It affected me with basically with relationships, especially with men, because mm-hmm. you know, I had a difficult time overcoming a lot of the trauma, because not only did that happen when I was young, and then eventually I became homeless when I was 15. My mom had left my stepfather, and she was living with another guy who was very abusive, and at that time I had learned karate to help protect myself, and mm-hmm. you know, I was tired of him beating her up, so I jumped in it and got him off of her, and she sided with him, was upset with me, and she kicked me out the house. So I didn't have anywhere to go, and by this time my stepfather had died, so I didn't have him to go to, so I was homeless. Mm-hmm. So dealing with being on the streets, I got involved with drugs and prostitution, a lot of criminal activity. And mm-hmm. even when I got off the streets, and I went back to school and went to college and became successful, I still had that mentality of someone who was a criminal. And I say a victim, I say. That's what I say. And I did things still later on in life, got with the men who were abusive and still did a lot of things that weren't healthy because I just didn't know how to turn my life around, and those things affected me because I didn't go to counseling at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And it affected me for a lot of years, and so I finally went to counseling, got some therapy, got some spirituality, you know, with God, and then everything started turning around.
Okay.
So that's how that happened.
You talk about empowering people to overcome obstacles in their life, and one of the things that you write about is, well, I guess addictions, and let's talk a little bit about the kinds of things that you talk about when you talk about empowering people to overcome things like addictions. Tell us about that.
You know, I usually tell people that your past doesn't dictate where your future has been. Doesn't matter what has happened in your past, you still can overcome traumatic events, obstacles, challenges, and be empowered to make a better life for yourself and for others. And it does start with recognizing that you need help. You can't always do it yourself, and you might have to go to therapy. You might have to go to your pastor or the church to get some help to understand what has happened in your life,
mm-hmm.
and how to deal with those issues in order to start healing emotionally. Once you do that, then you can start baby steps working toward empowering yourself to live a happy, healthy, peaceful life. Because even like I said, even though I had degrees and I had a business and I had all these other things, inside I was still empty. I was spiritually empty. And until you get that part right, it doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter how much fame, fortune. It doesn't matter. You're still going to be an empty shell. So I start with that part of empowering people, teaching them how to, overcome destructive habits, negative habits, toxic habits, in order to be empowered to be better. So it starts with the spiritual part first.
Somewhere I read, I don't know if it was in the book or maybe on a website or something, that you mentioned about dealing with stress, and that's something that causes a lot of us who've had addiction problems. It causes us a lot of problems. What role does dealing with stress play in getting yourself empowered, and how do people go about dealing with stress?
Well, stress, you're right. Stress is a big part, you know, is a big part of life, and you can't do anything about that part. But it's about how you handle it. And, you know, people do go to addiction because it's the easy way to say, I don't want to feel this anymore, I don't want to deal with this. But, again, if you want to get yourself healthy emotionally and spiritually and all that, you have to deal with the stress and find outlets that are positive. Again, you need to be around other people who are uplifting and who will help pull you up and help empower you. You have to be around positive people. You can't, obviously, like, you know, if you're an addict or any kind of addiction, mm-hmm. the first thing you should do is not be around those type of people, because mm-hmm. those people are just going to pull you back into that world. So you need to be around uplifting people first to help you be strong, continue to be strong. You need to do activities that are helpful, like fitness activities. I'm a big component, you know, in my background in boxing and martial arts and all. I'm into mm-hmm. fitness. That helps relieve a lot of stress. Mm-hmm. Yoga, a good way. Meditation. All these are ways that help you. You got to find a hobby. I find mm-hmm. that for a lot of people to get mm-hmm. through addiction. They find a hobby that takes their mind off of the stress mm-hmm. and off of the addiction. If, you know, if you love fishing, that might be your thing. And you might say, okay, I'm just going to go fish and be quiet for a moment, sit out there and just relax and read a good book, whatever it takes for you. But again, your mindset has to be in the right place. You have to decide that I don't want to be that person anymore, and I'm not going to allow drugs or sex or anything else, addiction, rule my world. And mm-hmm. once you start doing that, it's going to be hard, obviously. But some people can do it. Some people on their own. Some people need help by gathering with others. You have to find out what's best for you and mm-hmm. then start your journey.
Okay. Those are some excellent suggestions in terms of outlets. Jillian, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, more with Jillian Bullock, and we're going to talk more about her book, Here I Stand, right after this. My name is Rodney Mathers, and you're on the Journey of Hope. Productive with that downtime. Rodney Mathers here for the Jam Buddy Chord Chart. Hey, you know, a lot of us have tried to do some things that will help us be productive with our downtime, and I know a lot of you are into playing music just like I am, and one of the things that's really helped me is something called the Jam Buddy Chord Chart. This will help you play whatever instrument it is. That's what's so amazing about it. It will help you play any song in any key, because it teaches you something called the Nashville Numbering System. You want to check this out. It's called the Jam Buddy Chord Chart. Just click on the link right next to the podcast where it says Jam Buddy Chord Chart, and it'll take you right there. The Jam Buddy Chord Chart. Welcome back. We're talking to Jillian Bullock. Her book is Here I Stand. Let's get into the book. And the first thing I want to say about the book is it's graphic. It's not for children, but I feel like that the graphic nature of the book is necessary in order for Jillian to relate her story. And what my question is for you, Jillian, is as you were writing the book and you're going back and reliving these incidents in this minutia, this in such detail, how did that make you feel? I'm curious about that.
Well, I mean, some parts were harder than others. Some parts I could step out of. I know it sounds weird. I had to step out of, you know, like, I had to think it wasn't me. I had to think I'm just, like, writing a novel or something. You know, I'm also a screenwriter. So when I put stories together, I say it's about someone else. But and some parts were hard, like the rape scene. Writing that was very difficult for me. So my editor, you know, he kept saying, okay, you got to go back and change this and fix this because I wasn't really fully writing it. He said, you know, you're skipping around it, and you got to make it more colorful. You have to put it out how it happened. Mm-hmm. And that was the biggest, that was the hardest part for me, writing the rape scene. Mm-hmm. Because even though I'm now healed from that incident, it's still, you know, anytime I hear about other people, other young girls or women being raped or sexually assaulted, it brings memories of what they must be going through, because I've been through that. Mm-hmm. So that was the hardest part, I would say.
Yeah, I read that scene, and you know, it's shocking, but I think in order to relate your story, it's necessary for it to be related in a way where people can understand where it is you're coming from. And I think it makes the book more effective in the things that you say a lot more effective. It's not a gratuitous scene. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. It's necessary that it's there. At some point, your life turned, and you started doing positive things for yourself. I want to talk about that, and I want you to tell us, you know, what was it that helped you to turn your life and to start to move in a positive direction? Because, you know, you were doing some pretty bad things there for a while, and I think the listeners of the show can definitely relate to the kind of lifestyle you were into. Where did your life turn, and how did that happen?
Well, you know what? To be honest, it's an ongoing thing. It's just like you're an addict.
Right.
Every day is one day at a time. There are times that I was doing very well and I slipped. In one way or another. Like I said, either I slipped by going back to drugs, or I slipped by going into an abusive relationship, knowing that the guy was not healthy. Mm-hmm. Because again, if you don't feel that you're worthy of love and respect, it doesn't matter, like I said, how much success you have. You have to feel good about you. So it's an ongoing process, but I still started the journey because I said I didn't want to live that way anymore. I didn't want to let my past rule my life forever. And when I did slip, and that's what I tell people when I do empowerment speeches, you're going to slip. You're not perfect. No one is. So when you do slip, the thing is not to stay there. You know, I always relate life to, like I said, I'm a competitive fighter. I get in the ring. I fight. And I always say life is like a fight. If you want to be a champion, champion fighters, if they get knocked down, they're going to keep getting back up. I mean, I've heard from other fighters saying, you're going to have to carry me out on a stretcher. That's how serious they are when they go into a fight. Mm-hmm. And that's life. You're going to get knocked down. Mm-hmm. How many are you going to get back up and say, okay, I did make that mistake. True. I have to take 100% responsibility for what I did and my actions. Don't blame everybody else. And I have to say, okay, how can I fix this? How can I change this so it doesn't happen again? Mm-hmm. And that's the key that I try to tell people. Don't try to be perfect, because that you're definitely going to not be perfect. Mm-hmm. And that's what I continue to do in life. I'm not always perfect. Even though I do give motivational speeches and empowerment coaching, I tell people, I've been where you are. I know what you're going through. And even me, I'm not perfect. I'm going to slip. And you will too. It's how you pick up yourself and move on. And that's my philosophy for having what I call a fighting spirit. Mm-hmm. Get back up. I did wrong. Let me fix it. Let me get the help that I need. If I need to go back to NA or AA or wherever I got to go, you have to do what you need to do to help you be better.
Mm-hmm. We all are human, aren't we? And yeah. And slipping is a part of that. And I think people kind of have a tendency sometimes once they slip to give up. And right. And I like what you have to say along those lines, because it's really what defines us, isn't it? It is how we how we handle the slip, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Right. Yeah, it's true. It's true. Some people will slip and they don't come back from it. They just go down deeper and deeper into that hole. Some people, you know, find their way out of it. And, you know, that's what my hope is when I do speak to other people, that they find a way to say, okay, I can't continue to live this way anymore. I've got to find some inner peace. And how can I do this? And I try to give them the tools necessary to help them, like I said, eliminate the destructive, negative, toxic behaviors that they have in order to change their life.
Yeah, and this audience is going to get back up if they slip.
Right.
We're determined. We're determined to live productive lives after incarceration. And along those lines, Jillian, what advice do you have for our audience about how to get empowered? You know, if you could sum it up in just, you know, a brief paragraph, what do people need to do to get empowered?
Well, like I said, I think the first thing is they have to accept 100% responsibility for their actions. So many people I talk to say, you know, it wasn't my fault. My parents were bad parents. My parents were alcoholics. I was sexually abused. Hey, don't use that excuse in the book. That if you continue to do that, you will never change. You will always make excuses. You have to be 100% responsible for your actions. Admit what you've done wrong. If you can try to make restitution for what you've done wrong, you try to do that as well. Then you try not to, like I said, make the same mistake again. You go get the help that you need. You go around people who are empowered already so they can help empower you, pull you up when you fall, push you when you need it, and who's going to give you good advice, who's going to care for you and love you and be positive in your life. Mm-hmm. No negativity. You can't have that in your life. Mm-hmm. This is your baby steps, but they're ways to start helping you grow as a person. And when you feel yourself slipping, you need to always have a good resource behind you, again, to go to say, I'm not feeling too good today. I feel like I'm going to do something bad, something wrong. Help me, you know, do what I need to do. You got to be around positive people and people who can uplift you. That's key to transforming your life.
Well, I really like the things that you have to say. You're very well spoken, and the book is an eye-opener. Where do we get the book, by the way? How do we get to...
People can go to Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com, and they can also go to my website, JillianBullockEnterprises.com, if they want an autographed copy. They can only get that through my website.
Okay. Very good. The book is called Here I Stand. Jillian Bullock, I want to thank you so much for being on the Journey of Hope today.
Thank you, Rodney, for having me. I appreciate it.
We're going to take another quick break. We'll be right back after this. My name's Rodney Mathers, and you're on the Journey of Hope. Are you kidding me? Have we finished another show? I want to thank my special guest today, Jillian Bullock, and I want to remind you that if God is for you, who can be against you? We'll see you next week right here on the Journey of Hope.